The word negligence has a nasty ring to it, especially when splashed across newspaper headlines. Dental professionals accused of negligence may feel angry and distressed, and may not know what to expect or do, which is why seeking professional help from the DDU is essential at the first sign of a claim. When the DDU's expert claims handlers and advisors are assisting you with a claim, they step in straight away and continue to advise you throughout the process. Here to explain how the legal process works is Debbie Herbst, Senior Dental Claims Handler at the DDU. So, Debbie, what exactly is clinical negligence?
Clinical negligence occurs when a dentist's or dental care professional's clinical management or performance falls below the standard expected of a reasonably competent dentist or DCP. This standard would be that considered appropriate and acceptable by a responsible body of dentists or relevant group of DCPs. The law requires that claimants, generally patients but it could be their relatives, establish three things. First, that the dental professional owed them a duty of care. Second, that the dental professional breached that duty. And last, that the patient suffered harm as a result.
So, can you outline the sort of incidents that give rise to clinical negligence claims?
On a day-to-day basis, the DDU is notified about claims that stem from problems such as failed or delayed diagnoses, administrative errors, consent issues, communication problems, and other errors or poor outcomes from different types of dental treatment. Many cases of failed or delayed diagnosis involve unnecessary pain and suffering and more extensive treatment than may otherwise have been necessary. For example, it may be alleged that there was a failure to diagnose dental decay or periodontal disease early on, which has resulted in the need for extensive treatment and/or loss of teeth. Treatment errors can be varied. Any procedure that a dental professional carries out has the potential to go wrong, which could result in a claim of negligence.
Can you explain how the legal process of making and defending a claim works?
There are a number of stages in the legal process and they differ within the UK. In England and Wales, a pre-action protocol was introduced in 1999 to provide an opportunity to resolve claims before formal legal proceedings get underway. If both sides cannot agree at this stage, the patient can pursue the claim through the courts.
So what exactly is the pre-action protocol?
The aim of the pre-action protocol is to ensure that both sides have every chance to resolve the dispute informally, so the patient or claimant does not need to resort to legal proceedings. The process usually begins with a request from the claimant, either acting in person or via a legal representative, for disclosure of the clinical records. This enables the claimant to obtain appropriate expert dental and/or legal advice on the merits of the claim. In our experience, a substantial number of potential claims are dropped at this point. If the advice received by the claimant supports the claim, a document called a letter of claim will be sent to the dental professional, setting out the full details of the case and the allegations. There is then a period of 3 months to consider the merits of the claim and whether it can be defended successfully. During this period, the DDU reviews the information our member has provided and often takes expert dental and legal advice to decide how best to respond. The options at this stage are to deny the claim, to admit parts of it, to suggest alternative ways of resolving the dispute, or to offer to settle. Denying the claim involves giving detailed reasons so the claimant can consider what to do next. By and large, the pre-action protocol works well and many claims can be resolved without the need for formal legal proceedings.
Okay, so what happens if the claim is not resolved at this stage?
It's then open to the claimant to issue formal legal proceedings. This starts with a claim form issued by the court and served naming the defendant dental professional. The DDU normally instructs solicitors at this point, and they are either our in-house specialists or external solicitors with considerable expertise in defending our members. The next step is service of the particulars of claim by the claimant, which will either be sent at the same time as the claim form or within the following 14 days. As the name suggests, the particulars of claim give details of the claimant's case and the damages claimed, usually with an expert's report on the patient's condition and prognosis attached. It is important to get the court documents to the DDU straight away if they are served directly on you, as there is otherwise a risk of having judgment entered against you in default of acknowledging service. On behalf of our member, the DDU now has 28 days to lodge a full defence with the court. This is a tight timescale, particularly as clinical negligence cases are often quite complex, and we need the full cooperation of our member to ensure we meet the deadline.
So what happens next?
The court now takes charge of the claim. From now on, the case runs according to a strict timetable imposed by the court, including exchange of witness statements and expert reports. During the proceedings, the DDU has to disclose all relevant documents to the claimant, with a disclosure statement confirming that we have conducted a reasonable and proportionate search in order to locate all documents. The defendant dental professional's witness statement is an essential part of preparing the defence. If the case goes to trial, it will form the basis of their evidence, and as it is so important, we usually ask that they meet the solicitor, who will carefully prepare and draft the statement. It's worth remembering, though, that fewer than 1% of dental cases go to trial.
So what's the role of the expert in clinical negligence cases?
Dental advice is essential in clinical negligence claims, and we may need to instruct one or more independent dental experts. We instruct experts in general dental practice or the member's appropriate specialty area to advise on the standard of care that it is reasonable to expect from the defendant dental professional, and whether the outcome would have altered if the dental professional had managed the patient differently. We may need to ask other specialists to advise on the present condition and prognosis of the claimant. Experts give their advice in a written report and must be impartial in the way that they prepare it, because their duty is to advise the court. Both sides may put written questions to experts about their report, and the experts must answer them.
I'm aware that some claims cannot proceed because they're started too late. Can you explain the rules on that?
Claims should be started within 3 years of the incident, or 3 years from when the patient becomes aware that there are grounds to make a claim. For example, if the claim is about an endodontic instrument that has been left inside the root canal, it may be many years before the patient realises, perhaps when the instrument is detected during an X-ray for a different reason. Outside this period, the onus is on the claimant to persuade the court that there is a good reason for the delay. But this 3-year limitation period only applies to competent adult claimants. For children, the limitation period only begins to run when they reach 18, and there is no time limit on claims for patients who are suffering from a mental disorder or disability.
Presumably, defendant dental professionals need to be in regular touch with their lawyers as the claim proceeds.
Yes, though this generally comes from the DDU, as we know how important it is to keep members up to date. Also, to manage claims effectively, we need to make sure there is clear and regular communication and cooperation between the dental professionals, the lawyers, and the DDU's claims team. One effective way of assessing a case is to have a meeting, often called a conference, with the barrister, solicitor, and the experts instructed to represent our member. Although these can last for several hours, we usually ask the member to be present. We examine the claim in detail, test the available evidence, and identify other evidence that might be required. The purpose of these meetings, usually called cons, is to determine whether the expert evidence supports the defence when subjected to close scrutiny, and ultimately to discuss whether we are likely to be able to defend the case successfully if it goes to trial.
So how long does it usually take from the incident giving rise to the claim to its final resolution?
I'm afraid that's the classic how long is a piece of string question. 70% of claims are notified to us within 3 years of the incident, which is about 2.7 years on average. But it can be much longer, sometimes well over 10 years.
And what help do you need from the member during the claim?
The critical factor in all claims is the availability of clear and detailed evidence. This will allow us to defend the claim successfully, or enable us to decide at an early stage that the claimant's allegations can be substantiated. Without a member's cooperation, the chances of a successful defence fall dramatically. So throughout the process, we need to work with our member to achieve the right outcome.
And what exactly do you need by way of evidence?
Evidence includes statements given by the dental professional and other potential witnesses present, the clinical records, and any other relevant documents such as x-rays. We need as best we can to reconstruct events so that the experts can say whether the care provided was adequate or fell short of what could reasonably have been expected.
And if the claim is settled, who decides how much compensation the claimant should receive?
There are two major elements to the damages awarded. General damages are for pain, suffering and loss of amenity, not being able to do things that you could otherwise have done. Special damages are designed to meet the cost of remedial treatment and associated expenses such as travelling and loss of earnings. Basically, damages should cover what is necessary to put the claimant in the position where he or she would have been had the negligence not occurred. The final settlement figure is a matter of negotiation between the lawyers for the claimant and the defendant, but there are guidelines and also precedent set by earlier cases.
In the end, who will decide if a claim is settled or defended?
It's DDU policy to involve members in decisions about their claims, but we cannot mount a successful defence without the members' full cooperation, the necessary evidence, in particular clear and detailed clinical records, and supportive expert opinions. As I've already mentioned, the timetable in claims is very tight, so we really do need prompt replies to any questions we ask. Sometimes the member might ask us to consider settling a claim even when we have supportive expert evidence and believe it should be defended. This may be because the member does not want to go to trial and give evidence and possibly run the gauntlet of the media on the way into court, or it may be that the member asks us to pursue a case where the evidence points clearly to settlement. Usually, after discussions, sometimes at a conference with counsel, we're able to agree the best way forward.
What's the best way of responding to a journalist who wants to discuss a case?
Our press office can assist members with media inquiries. We run a 24-hour press office service and members can contact us directly or through their case handler. A dental professional's duty of confidentiality makes it very difficult to respond to questions, yet journalists are adept at drawing dental professionals into conversation so that they inadvertently breach patient confidentiality, which could lead to a complaint to the General Dental Council. It's much easier and safer to leave it to the DDU. We're experts at talking to journalists about claims and a whole host of other dento-legal matters.
So if a patient alleges that a dental professional was negligent, does that mean that they will be referred to the GDC?
There's no automatic referral of claims to the GDC, but sometimes claimants also complain to the GDC because it can investigate allegations that appear to cast doubts on a dental professional's fitness to practice. GDC investigations are entirely separate from clinical negligence proceedings, though some claimant solicitors will attempt to bring extra pressure to bear on defendant dental professionals through a GDC complaint. If a claimant threatens a GDC complaint, do let your DDU team know and they can advise you.
What should dental professionals do if a patient starts legal action against them but continues to consult them?
This is not unusual, though many dental professionals feel uncomfortable because they believe their professional relationship with the patient may have been damaged and that the patient's interest would be better served by finding another dental professional. However, this has to be weighed against the GDC guidance that you must not allow a patient's complaint to prejudice the care you provide. If such a situation arises, we suggest you discuss it with us so we can give you advice that is specific to the facts of your case.
Should dental professionals tell their colleagues if a patient is suing them for negligence?
Being open about legal proceedings can be helpful to the dental professional. A confiding relationship with a sympathetic colleague can be a very good form of support for a dental professional to have. However, do remember it is important to preserve patient confidentiality.
Thank you, Debbie. Being accused of clinical negligence can be a devastating experience. For many, the case will go away before proceedings are served. But for as long as this takes, the claim can sap morale, undermine your confidence and your relationship with other patients. Having the DDU's expertise at hand should help to mitigate the adverse effects of the claims process. But other help is also available from specialist and professional associations, your GP, trusted colleagues, and the Dentist Health Support Programme, which can provide general information and advice to any dental professional encountering health problems. If you receive a letter suggesting you have been negligent, call the DDU advice line on 0800 374 626 without delay. Expert advice is just a phone call away. We hope you found this podcast interesting and helpful. Thank you for listening.